This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, good morning, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Good Friday to you as we get ready for the weekend. And not just any weekend. Look, we talk about some of the lulls that happen in the month of February, but if you're a baseball fan, this is the weekend that spring training starts. Now, I know some of you don't get into spring training games, but some of you do. And the reason you do is not to see who's looking good, you know that comes as time progresses. But it's just the start of the baseball season. There's a feeling of the baseball season starting. It's when the balls are out, the bats are out, everything is out there. But because of this cloud that has been hanging over baseball for the last couple of weeks with the sign-stealing scandal, do you think this weekend is going to have any moment of just, you know, let's push all that aside and enjoy the great game of baseball because it's starting and it's here we are in spring training and this is where it all starts. You can talk about the way other sports begin, right? You could say the NBA goes around. They play sometimes in arenas where there's no NBA team. They kind of do their preseason games kind of on the road to in other markets. You know, the NFL has preseasons that everybody hates, nobody likes. They wish it was less, right? But spring training is different. It's in another location. It's warmer. Many people look at spring training and feel that spring is coming and baseball is coming and there's a real change. There's a real kick into the season. And I wonder if that's going to be the feeling this weekend for those of you that do pay attention to spring training games, that do just like baseball for baseball's sake. Maybe you're a Chicago White Sox fan and you're looking forward to seeing them play in Arizona on your television because it's chilly and cold, or Tiger fan or whatever you are, and just wanting to see the diamond, the bat, the pitcher, the ball, and forget all of the scandal that's hitting baseball. Do you think that's going to happen, or do you think we're still going to be muddled in this as more players speak out and more players discuss, and even outside the sport, people are making comments on where baseball is? I kind of hope so. I kind of hope we can get the feeling of baseball this weekend and throughout the next couple of days when spring training really hits into full force, because the romanticized version of this sport is kind of needed if you live in a very cold temperature climate and you're looking forward to the grass growing in your own backyard when you can see the grass growing out in Arizona or in Florida. But coming up, the anniversary next.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. All right, coming up on Saturday is the 40th anniversary of the Miracle on Ice, where the United States beat the Soviet Union 4-3 at the Winter Games in Lake Placid, New York. It's still the greatest sporting moment in ever. 100 years, 150 years, ever. I just can't think of any circumstance that tops it. There have been upsets, and we did this, a week ago when we talked about upsets and greatest upsets. Miracle on Ice is not just an upset. It's one of the most iconic sports moments in the history of competition. Only because of all of the stuff that surround it. Now, you can talk about like an upset, like when we talk about a 16 seed beating a number one in college basketball, we say UMBC beat Virginia, or Chaminade beating Virginia, or any of the other upsets and that you can find in the history of sports, but they're always in the context of the sport, right? They're always in the context of the game in and of itself. The NCAA tournament is a big deal. A 16 beating a 1 is cool. It's a big upset. It'll get people talking, but it doesn't branch out beyond the tournament. The Miracle on Ice was far greater than the hockey game itself because of the Cold War rivalry between the two countries. The serious philosophical differences between the two governments, right? How we govern our people here, how they govern their people there, the philosophies of those governments, what the United States was going through in the 70s leading up to the 80 Olympic Games, a country in turmoil. You'll probably remember the movie Miracle if you're too young to actually have experienced that time for yourself. And the fact that this was not only an upset because of the inexperience of the United States against a juggernaut Soviet Union, it was done on home ice for the United States in a country where it was being, where, think about where hockey was, think about where the NHL was in 1980. All right, you're not in Arizona, you're not in Tampa, you're not in Florida, you're not in Nashville, you're not in Dallas, you're not in Carolina, you're not in Los Angeles, you're not, like, think about all the places that the NHL wasn't in. Maybe the Kings were around, but not Anaheim. Think of all those warm weather cities and warm weather spots where the NHL wasn't around, right? So now you've got a sport that a lot of people in the United States weren't really familiar with, all right? Al Michaels said it best in the broadcast, when he opened up the broadcast, when he said, some of you don't know, I think the line was, some of you don't know the blue line from a clothesline. It doesn't matter. It didn't matter. You know, it's just like if the United States World Cup team is playing against Brazil in the World Cup semifinals, I can pull anybody off the street and go, well, I don't really know what a red card is or a yellow card is, and I don't know what offsides is, and I don't know when you get a penalty kick and when you're not. But if I just said, watch this because it's the United States and one of the biggest sporting events in the world, you could watch it. You don't need to know the rules. You don't need to know the game. And this is what this was. This wasn't basketball. It wasn't baseball. It wasn't a sport most of us were familiar with. A lot of the country wasn't familiar with this, with hockey. But it didn't matter because the concept was easy, right? You put the puck in the net and then you get a point, and whoever has the most points wins, right? All the other things were irrelevant, and it was against the Soviet Union. And as the time's winding down in the third period, and the United States, who entered the period trailing 3-2, and Tretiak is out of the game, one of the best goaltenders on the planet, on the globe, he's out of the game, and the United States takes the lead in the game, and then as the clock winding down, here's the most famous call in all of sports.
The crowd going insane. Carlomon shooting it into the American end again. Morrow is back there. Now Johnson, 19 seconds. Johnson over to Ramsey. Vigilantinov gets checked by Ramsey. McClanahan is there. The puck is still loose. 11 seconds. You've got 10 seconds. The countdown going on right now. Morrow up to Schultz. 5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes! Unbelievable.
It's 40 years.
Still gives you chills.
I still think there's many of you who really don't remember the Cold War. And I'm going to be honest with you. This is it's not before my time, but I was a little young when this went down enough to kind of feel the impact. But I knew a couple of years later what this game meant. But for some of you out there that are like 20, 25 years old, this Cold War thing is part of your history books. But it was real. I mean, it was deep and real, and it was absolutely on the ice. No. Seriously, it was us against the commies. I mean, that's the way it was. That's always the way it was treated, right? That's the way it was viewed.
I mean, we had movies that was just us against the commies. TV shows, if you had like an adventure TV show, like MacGyver.
Yep.
MacGyver was always going up against the commies. Indiana Jones was popular, and it was always against, like, you know, I mean, it was set in the 40s, but it was always against, like, that regime.
Exactly. And you thought of the Soviet Union, just if you saw Rocky IV, the stone cold evil nature.
Watched it last night.
Right? I mean, just that's what you thought. These guys don't have families. They're not compassionate. They're not fathers, right? They are just robots. They are communist robots. And that's this feeling like this, like they're not just the enemy. They're evil. They're the evil enemy.
Yeah. Or if you go there, you're going to have a sponsor.
That's right.
That was the other thing. You're always going to have a chaperone who's just going to walk with you, drive with you, take you everywhere you need to go. They're not going to interact with you. They're just going to follow you.
That's right. Like when you're training for a boxing match and you're running up a mountain and they have to follow you. Right. So, I mean, that's all of that. That was all of that driven in. So you're growing up in this environment where the Soviet Union is this, you know, this evil communist empire that's taking over half of Europe. There's no freedom over there. They're all cold. They're all sinister, right?
Standing in line for bread and potatoes.
Exactly. You watch the cartoon, Rocky and Bullwinkle, right? Who's the bad guy, right? It's Boris Badenov.
And Natasha.
And their whole thing is we must get moose and squirrel, right? Like they've got accents just like, right? It's just inundated with this, with all your whole, as you're growing up. And then you get told that the Soviet hockey team is just this professional elite machine. Right? And they just are slaughtering everybody. And guess what they're going to do? They're going to come to Lake Placid and they're going to kill everybody on the ice and they're going to win the gold medal. And the United States, a bunch of kids,
just hand them the gold medal now.
Yeah, no one was going to beat them. Not Canada, not nobody else.
Nope.
That the Soviet Union was going to roll through this puppy and win the gold medal. And these kids, these college kids, with the average age of this team was 21 years old. That means there were 18 and 19-year-olds on this team.
Lots of experience.
I mean, there are kids out of high school that are playing for the United States of America, and they're out there like lambs to a slaughter because they had gotten slaughtered before by this team in Madison Square Garden. And they go out there and they pull off this unbelievable victory that means so much more than a hockey game and so much more than them eventually winning the gold medal and beating Finland. It means 1,000 times more than just the outcome. Like I said earlier, when you talk about upsets, they're in the context of the sports. They have no real political ramifications. Like when we talk about the Giants beating the Patriots in the Super Bowl, it didn't have any political ramifications. This had like political ramifications. People felt good. If people felt like this meant we were a better country overall. Like
this was a battle of the Cold War.
Right.
I mean, as much as, you know, Battle of the Bulge or Midway was a battle during World War II or World War I. This was, I mean, USA versus, this was bragging rights. This was, hey, see, we are better than you. We're tougher. We're stronger. I mean, it was all of that. It wasn't just a sporting event.
And I can't imagine. And I know these guys have all really made, you know, some of them went on to have a pro career. Some of them went on to do other things with their lives. But all of them for 40 years, Jim Craig, Mike Ruzioni, you name it, Neil Broughton, you name it. The guys on this team all have made names for themselves. And some of them have made livings as motivational speakers and whatnot. And I'm curious from a standpoint of, does Mike Ruzioni or Jim Craig, any one of these guys, it's 40 years. Do they feel like it was 40 years? Do they feel like it was yesterday? Do they feel like it was not necessarily yesterday, but not exactly 40 years? Because I got to think this is an emotion you can't duplicate.
Never.
Like, you just cannot duplicate.
And that's the thing. I don't, you know, when we talk about, when you keep mentioning upsets, this is one of those upsets that it stands alone. It's not we can't put it in the same realm as the Giants beating an undefeated Patriots team, or UMBC shocking the world and taking down Virginia, or Buster Douglas knocking out Mike Tyson. Those are all great upsets, but this one's is in its own category.
Yeah, it totally is its own category because,
again, Mount Rushmore.
Again, think about how. Maybe 40 years of Mike, if Buster Douglas is still around, you might want to talk to him, but 40 years later, these guys are still doing the rounds. They're still buzzing. Mm-hmm. They're still being honored all over the country, right? It never gets old. When the movie came, I was really glad there was a movie, you know, I'll tell you why, because when my son was little, we were living in Colorado and he was playing junior hockey and he was just a kid and he watched it all the time. Like he watched it all the time. It was his favorite movie. And now that he's older, he doesn't play hockey anymore. He knows all about this based on the movie. I mean, he's done his own like research. He's read some articles about it because even a kid who was born way after this thing, like, you know, he still looks at it and goes, man, that must have been amazing. Like that must have been amazing. because he's old enough now to really put all of it in a historical context. All of the stuff that he's learned in history class combined with this event has really allowed him an appreciation for it. But the movie had a lot to do with it. Rather than his old man going, it was so, you don't know, kids, but the United States beating the Soviets, that's the greatest sporting event you'll ever know. It was a movie that he watched and he remembered how important it was. And then he kind of is old enough to really put the pieces together and goes, yeah, that must have been unbelievable.
You know, the other thing I was thinking of, too, is like, say if we went to war with Brazil,
right?
And USA Soccer takes down Brazil in the World Cup final. It's still different because it was a Cold War. There was never a war.
Right.
We were always on the brink of a nuclear fallout.
Yeah.
And so there was always just this tension. I mean, if we're at war with the country, we're at war with the country. You can kind of see where it's going to go, where it's going to lie. You know, but at this time, you're talking about the two most dominant superpowers in the world who weren't fighting with each other, weren't really arguing with each other either.
I wonder if tomorrow is anybody going to rebroadcast this thing?
I'm certain.
I'm hoping that there will be. I would love to watch
the entire game?
The entire game, ooh, start to finish. Just like on NHL Network or, you know, one of these smaller sports cable vision things.
I mean, it was...
ESPN's got 100 channels and they probably own the rights to this thing.
It was tape delayed in 1980.
Right? Just find it in some archive. You got to have it in some archive somewhere.
That was another funny thing about that was that a lot of people who watched it in 1980 thought they were watching it live.
Yeah, I thought they were watching it live. Yeah. Yeah. It's so great that in today that could never happen because of internet.
Never.
But now, back then, there was just no other way to know right away. You had to wait.
I mean, unless you sent a telegram.
That's right. That's right.
That's the only way.
All right. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Again, 40 years ago tomorrow, the United States beat the Soviet Union, Miracle on Ice. That's next, SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, it's O-Reward Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stop in today for store-wide savings, and plus you can earn double O-Reward Bonus Points on all sale items like wiper blades, motor oil, tools, accessories, and more. Not an O-Rewards member yet? Sign up today online or in the store. Take advantage of Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's fast, easy, and free, but hurry. Double points are only available for a limited time. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices, every day. Oh, the fallout for the Astros is continuing. Everybody taking their shots at the Astros sign-stealing scandal. Now there are Little League programs that will not allow teams to be named the Astros.
So ridiculous.
That's silly. That's silly. And that's kind of the joy of being in the Little League, right? Is you get to be a team. You get to wear, the hat.
Yeah.
We're the Angels. We're the Red Sox. We're the Astros. Are they worried about teasing? Are they worried about other players going, yeah, you're a bunch of cheaters. Look, you're a cheater team and cheater, and you root for a bunch of cheaters. Is that what we're doing?
Nah, I think they're just taking a stand.
Are they taking a stand?
They're on that hill, that platform.
Remember Paul Harvey, the rest of the story? Do you remember when Paul Harvey used to do that old broadcaster?
No.
You don't remember Paul Harvey? Man. He was one of the greatest broadcasters in the history of the medium. But Paul Harvey had this bit where he would do the rest of the story, and he would tell you a story, and then at the end, it would always have a twist, right? And they he would say this, this young man was and he would tell the story about this young man, and then later on he goes, and you may have remembered that old man that gave the advice, because he would go on to be president. President Lincoln. And you go, oh, wow. It's like a little Twilight Zone for radio. Right? All right. So little cool stories. I remember one, and it happened after the 1998 baseball season, that Harvey told this story about a Little League program that had, unfortunately, too many players. And they had to make cuts. And there was all these kids that didn't know where they were going to play. So one coach said, I will take all of the cut players and put them on my team. And he took them all on the team, and they ended up winning the championship. And their name was the Diamondbacks, because the Diamondbacks were an expansion team. And so they took it upon themselves to be, look, if everybody else, if nobody wants us, and we're going to be an expansion team, let's be the Diamondbacks. And the cool twist at the end of the story was, I guess the Arizona Diamondbacks had heard about it and like showered the kids with a whole bunch of gear and cool things like that, because they kind of represented the Diamondbacks well in this like little league tournament in California or New Mexico or wherever it was. So I keep thinking, if you are one of these little league teams and you're the Astros, why don't you rally around that and we're going to be the non-cheating team. We're going to win this fair and square. We're going to win it for the Astros. While the Astros are going to struggle to regain their credibility, this little league team in Missouri is going to win the title and help the Astro name back up again. So the Astro name is not going to be trottled through in the mud. How about that?
No, we can't have that.
We just have to let them spit and just be like trampled on by Little League now.
Well, they do have one champion,
which is
David Ortiz.
Oh yeah, David Ortiz. Yeah, he went after Mike Fiers.
Yeah, here it is.
I'm mad at this guy, the pitcher that came out talking about it. And let me tell you why. Oh, after you make your money, after you get your ring, you decide to talk about it. Why don't you talk about it during the season when it was going on? Why you didn't say, I don't want to be no part of? Oh, now. So you look like a snitch. You know what I mean? Why you got to talk about it after? Why don't you, that's my problem, you know. Why nobody say anything while it was going on? People is not stupid.
Okay, I got a question for David Ortiz. Is it okay to snitch if you're doing it at the right time? Is that what he's getting at?
Maybe.
Hold on. Listen to that again. He's got a problem with Mike Fiers because he's saying that Fiers said everything after he got the ring and he didn't say it then, and then he called him a snitch. But basically what he's implying is, look, a snitch is somebody that rats you out. Like, that's it. It doesn't matter when you do it, right?
So you're saying it'd be too uncomfortable to do it right while on said team.
Okay, so let's say I'm with a group of guys and we rob a bank, okay? And then I snitch to the cops like 6 months later. I'm a snitch no matter when I do it. If right. I do it after I rob the bank, immediately, 6 months later, a year later, 5 years later, the underground would consider me a snitch no matter when that occurred. So Ortiz is using that term incorrectly, because what he's implying is if Mike Fiers had come out during the season and ratted out the entire organization while he was on it, that would have been acceptable. But it's not acceptable to be away from those guys and doing it.
So here's a question, or a hypothetical, if you will, is that if Mike Fiers was never let go by the Astros, traded by the Astros, you know, tossed to the curb by the Astros, and say he was still with the Astros now.
Right.
This story probably wouldn't have came out, right?
It's possible. It's possible it wouldn't have come out, because he's definitely the smoking gun that the suspicious people needed to put it in place. Right?
Explanation the Yankees needed for, I don't know how this tiny team used to be.
Right. Exactly.
We're the Yankees.
But I wonder how many people, like when we talked about all the organizations that kind of was going to Major League Baseball saying there was some suspicion, I'm wondering how many reporters would have just said, look, I may not have Mike Fiers, but I'm going to get somebody. I'm going to find something. I'm going to track this down. And so it may not be him, but it may have been somebody else. I think there was still so much heat on those who are in it, like every single day, the beat reporters, the guys who are in clubhouses all the time, who, by the way, and when you do that for a living, because I used to see it all the time with people in Colorado, you form like these friendships with these players. I know you're not supposed to, but you can't help it. You're with them 6 months out of the year. Like, you get to know them pretty well.
What was that line in Almost Famous? You know, you brought in the enemy? Or something like that when they were talking about the kid reporter.
Right. Exactly.
Don't talk to him. He's the enemy.
So you can only imagine when you're like by some guy's clubhouse on a Tuesday in July and you're like, what's going on, man? You know, how you doing? The guy's like, man, those Astros, they cheat like hell.
No little league team Astros in Southern California.
That's right. Don't be the Astros in, no doubt.
So stupid.
Great. Big, the good, the bad, and the dumb. That's coming up next on SB Nation AM.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up here on SB Nation AM on a Friday. So we're going into the weekend. We're feeling pretty good. Let's feel even better. The good of the day.
Oh, the good of the day. You know what? I mean, I'm going to preface it this way. This is good for you and I.
You and I, okay.
It's not good for Byung-hun An, or An. I'm not sure how to say
it. Is that the golfer?
That's the golfer.
Yeah.
Basically, what happened is that the first green at WGC Mexico, the championship going on.
Yep.
He drove it all the way to the green.
Wow!
I think it's a par four. He hit like 312 yards, 300 plus yards.
That's amazing.
Yeah. 312 yard drive to reach the green off the tee, off the first tee. He proceeded a four putt.
Oh, that's horrible.
From 25 feet out.
Oh my God, that's terrible.
It's terrible.
That is
But the
terrible.
Reason why I'm saying it's good, because you know what? A situation like that makes me believe, and probably you believe, we can be professional golfers.
Yeah, right?
I mean, four putt from 25 totally feet. That's easy.
I totally can.
Not only that, but I think it was there was three putts from within 3 feet.
I had a friend of mine I was playing once who was an okay golfer, not great, but one time we were on a par five, and he had a really good drive, and I think he got some help from the cart path, so it went a little bit further than he normally hit, and then he had a three wood to the green, and he knocked it on the green from the three wood. Now this is a guy who is probably a bogey golfer, so he's got a putt for eagle. He doesn't have a close putt, but he has a putt for eagle. And so we were kind of giving him some, you know, they said, well, at least two putt for birdie. He putted it off the green.
Yeah, I can see that.
Off the green. And went off the green and down a hill. And he had to chip. And he made like a seven.
Yeah.
And I still tease him about that to this day.
See, Alan ran his first putt by the hole, leaving himself a 2.5 footer for birdie. Not too bad.
Not too bad,
you know,
yeah.
I made 25 feet out. That's not easy.
No.
And so if you can't make that eagle, you run it by the hole just a little bit, and you have a 2.5 foot putt for birdie, you know, okay, that's doable. So easy cleanup to get the round going on the right foot. Nope, that didn't happen either.
Oh.
He missed a birdie putt, leaving another short putt for a frustrating par. Right, so he's got par. Okay, but it turns out that par wasn't in the plan either, because he lipped that one and ended up tapping it in for a bogey.
Oh, no.
So you drive to the green on the first tee, and then you end up with a bogey.
That's terrible.
Your first putt's an eagle shot, and you wind up with a bogey.
That's terrible.
That's how I know I could be a professional golfer.
Man, you gotta be like, and you have to put that out of your head and everything, and you gotta move on, and that's gotta be hard.
Nah, you can't do that.
You just hit an amazing shot, and you're like, I four putted. God.
Yeah, that's why. I mean, I loved it. When I was reading this, I loved that. I was like, yeah, you know what? He's out there doing this for every man.
It's amazing pro golfers four putt. I mean, it's amazing they four putt. This is what they do for a job. Their job is to do this all the time.
You know what? Even when they two putt, I mean, unless it's an obscene length, right? Yeah. I'm amazed that even when they two putt. I'm always thinking, like, oh, if you're, like, within 20 feet of the hole, isn't that automatic for you guys?
Exactly. I watched this one this video of Tiger Woods talking about his short game, and he was like, talking about all the different things he could do, and he was like, and then I could hit it low, I could hit it high, at different grips and stuff. And then he had a cut to, like, his teacher or another fellow pro that said, oh, I've seen Tiger in his backyard for hours, like 4 to 5 hours working on his short game. And I'm like, yeah, that's what he does for a living. It's not like me or you finding 4 hours outside of our work schedule to go practice our golf game. That's what they do for a living. It's amazing they four putt. It's amazing they miss anything. It's amazing they chip chili dip shots.
Well, that's when you all know it's mental.
Yeah, right? It's just, you know, it affects your head.
Because, yeah, it just got in his head and that was it.
Like, if you play, you can take a green, no matter how big it is, and tell a golfer, a professional golfer, his life depended on getting that ball in the hole in three putts. And they would go, no problem. I go, I don't care if it's 100 feet. I don't care if it's 10 feet. I don't care if it's slick. I don't care if it's downhill. I will figure this out. I can get this in that cup in three putts. Four putts? Ugh, I don't even think about that. Four putts. That's terrible. Yep. God, but that's kind of funny at the same time. All right, let's get to the bad then.
Well, we got two bads of the day.
Two bads.
One is because we're on the brink of the Canadian-American war.
Ah, where are we? What are we doing with this?
Well, it's a dangerous time. It's a, you know, hide your women and children, keep them sheltered. Canada, I guess, is apparently getting upset because the XFL is signing a bunch of CFL, signing actually the best players from the CFL.
Oh, are they really? I did not know this. I did not know this.
So Canadian fans expectedly are getting upset with that. I just think, you know, it's the brink of the war.
Oh, yeah.
War between us and our neighbors in the north.
We've already taken pretty much the NHL away from them.
Yeah,
now we're going to take CFL away from them,
I mean,
too.
How many Canadian teams are left? Like
yeah,
four?
Hardly any. And by the way, the Stanley Cup hasn't been in Canada so long, I don't even know if they know what it looks like.
They don't. They see pictures.
They see pictures.
Yeah, and they'll watch it on video.
Oh, and it comes around whenever the Canadian player brings it home, but we all know who he's playing for.
Yeah.
Somebody in the United States.
So, I mean, war is inevitable.
No kidding. Are they really that mad about this?
I guess so. I mean, yeah. CFL. I mean, think about it. If you take away, I can't even find an equation because we all have the best players. But I mean, if you keep taking away their best players, your product becomes terrible. I mean, imagine if there was like a exodus of NFL players saying, you know what, I'm tired of this league. I'm tired of Roger Goodell. I'm tired of what the owners are doing. We're heading to Canada.
Right.
And I'm going to take my talents north.
That's a good point.
We would be so bummed. We're like, all of a sudden, you know, our NFL resembles the AAF.
Yeah, that's a really good point. We'd probably be kind of livid. You know?
What is going on?
Yeah. And especially like the CFL's been around a long time.
Yeah.
Really, really long time. Yeah. So it's already got. It's got longevity, and they're losing players to this startup thing.
Yep.
Like, that has not proven itself yet?
Yeah. Are these players going to come back?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's not like, you know, the NFL is saying, oh, we're going to go play XFL for a week or two, and then we'll come back and be ready for midseason. You know, it's not even a cards for that thought process.
I don't know the pay structure in the CFL, but are you really making more money in the XFL?
That's a question.
Yeah, that's a good question. Or is it more likely, like, if I'm good enough to make the NFL, they'd rather notice me here in the XFL than the CFL? I don't know. But I can see people being pretty upset about that. So we're on the... All right, well, buckle down.
Yeah, get ready. Canadian-American War.
Get ready for those Mounties.
We'll have it in our history book years and years to come. The second bat of the day, it's just... You remember when Harvey hit?
Right.
And the Astros had a home series that they couldn't play... against the Rangers, and
I remember this.
And
yes,
they politely asked the Rangers, "Hey, can we switch places?
Yep,
you know, we'll take our home series. We'll play at your building this week, and then at the end of the season, you know, the water should recede. We can actually have our home game." And the Rangers said no, so the Astros ended up hosting a home game in Tampa.
That's right. I remember that. That's right.
Right. Well, the coronavirus has reared its ugly head once again. China, the women's Chinese team, is trying to qualify for the Olympics. And this weekend, they'll have a home game against South Korea in Australia.
Oh, and that's a long way to go.
Yeah. But, I mean, I guess the game was originally scheduled in Wuhan. So, I mean, obviously you don't want to play there.
Right.
But it's just a growing list of sports in China that have... had to either just outright cancel events, postpone it, reschedule or relocate. And so, I mean, we're leading into an Olympic year, and China can't host any of their Olympic qualifications.
Right, exactly. That's a great point.
Everyone's afraid to do anything.
Has anybody been, I mean, I know it's kind of been on the periphery of the news, but it hasn't really been in depth in the news about Tokyo and the Summer Games?
I think it's on everyone's mind.
Yeah, but I don't think anybody's taking the action that needs to be taken. And
I think
they're
fine. I think that, you know, I don't think it has anything to do with, you know, okay, Tokyo or, you know, Japan so close to China. I don't think it has anything to do with that. I think it's just we're going to gather a bunch of people from around the world in one spot. And so this outbreak could be anywhere.
Right.
I mean, obviously the largest concentration is China. I mean, there's pretty much by now every country in the world has had a coronavirus, you know, case.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I mean, I think that's on the forefront of everyone's mind is like, you know, okay, is Tokyo going to be safe?
That's true.
A mixture of that many cultures.
That's true.
I don't know.
So, Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. I got to go to, man, that's a long flight.
Yeah.
Go all the way to Australia.
Well,
to
not only that, I mean, they, you know, usually when you do these home and away matches,
yeah,
when you're doing Olympic qualifying, they're usually within a couple of days.
Oh, okay.
So China is playing in South. China's actually been in Australia. They haven't gone home in like 2 weeks.
The might Chinese as well live
national
there.
Team. They might as well just move, right?
Right.
Which I don't think, is that a safe place? Is Australia stopped burning, right? We seem to not care anymore. I've noticed that. No more photos of koala bears and kangaroos on fire.
No, I think that's over. but I don't know, you know?
It could still, I mean, it was the largest fire like in the history of known man, it seemed like. I mean, the entire country, I think, was on fire. It's kind of remarkable that it was out. You know, now we're not on fire anymore 2 weeks later, 3 weeks
later. I really want to go to Australia. I just don't want to fly that long.
Oof.
But I really want to go to Australia because
yeah.
I think it would be kind of neat.
So, but anyways, China has a match against in South Korea, like on the, I don't know, like coming up soon. And then 4 days later, all of them are flying to Australia to play a home match for China.
Wow. Okay.
That's a tough gig.
That is a tough gig. All right, so what's the dumb of the day, then?
The dumb of the day, you're going to agree with me on this one, okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to say the NHL missed a golden opportunity.
A golden opportunity, okay.
Yeah, because you had mentioned it before. You had brought up the fact, is anyone going to play this game or re-air the Miracle on Ice game on TV?
Right.
Right? I'm taking it a step further. I'm saying the NHL missed a golden opportunity. Why aren't they holding a game in Lake Placid this weekend?
That would have been a great idea.
Right?
That would have been a great idea. Sure it would.
I mean, it's the 40th anniversary. I get it. Yeah, if it's 41, if it's 38, you know what? We'll talk about it. But the, you know, the whole numbers, 40, 50, those are big numbers. Celebrate it.
Don't laugh at this question because this is a serious question. Is that hockey rink still around?
Oh,
is that arena
know.
Still around?
I have no idea, but I have to believe that Lake Placid has some sort of facility.
I got to think, too, but, you know, it's been 40 years. Sometimes people move. We go, well, we're going to move it to Salt Lake City, or we're going to move our stuff to Colorado Springs.
But we put hockey rinks outdoors all the time. Why can't we just set something up?
Yeah, that's true.
And then just bring in a grass. I mean, for the Phoenix Open, they build an entire stage within a week around an entire hole that seats like 3,000 people.
Yeah, they should have done something there.
There's not going to be a whole lot of people who would, you know, travel to Lake Placid for this anyways. You know, say if you just grab two random teams like Penguins and Flyers, right? And you just say, hey, you guys, we're going to do a game in Lake Placid. I don't know. I just think they missed a golden opportunity. Could have had a real good celebration of the 40th anniversary.
Yeah, they should have. Yeah, they should have done it. It wasn't like it was sneaking up on you. I mean,
no.
But yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Because it was a perfect storm. It's on a Saturday.
It's on a Saturday.
That
sure.
too. So, I mean, you have, you know, you could have, I mean, and just showcase the NHL versus showcasing, you know, during an all-star game. This is another way to say, hey, look at us. You know, this is hockey. I mean, I know the USA, the Miracle on Ice has nothing to do with the NHL, but it's hockey.
Yeah, it's hockey.
And that's all you need to know.
All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We'll get to a couple of your tweets next on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Again on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. Michael on Twitter, I was in fifth grade when the USA beat the Soviets. I had no idea walking into school the next day of what happened. There was USA hockey on every chalkboard in every class. Everyone was waving American flags.
Awesome.
Teachers were freaking out in school. Yeah, I can only imagine.
Yep.
How
I mean, I don't remember. I was 3 and a half when it happened.
Yeah, so. I mean, seriously, it must have like that euphoria. Again, I was trying to express this. Like, again, we've seen upsets, right? We've seen upsets, but can you imagine, like, even in the back of their heads, right? Even in the back of their minds, no matter how Herb Brooks pumped them up or whatever, they must have thought, look, we just got beat 10-0. You know, let's give it our best shot. We're probably not going to win. At what point were they thinking, holy crap, like Trekkiek's out of the game. We can actually pull this off. Right? I mean, it's that must, and then that feeling of
what they did when that clock is zero and they're just, well, just melting down with exuberance.
Taking a step further, I mean, you know, it was like, what, a minute or two left in the game?
Yeah.
There must have been, that must have been the longest minute or 2 minutes of their lives.
Because they're only up 4-3.
Yeah.
So every movement of the puck could derail what you're doing.
We all know how fast you can score in hockey.
That's right.
You can do it in like 3 seconds. One wrong move and you got to almost play flawless hockey. I mean, you just got to keep sending it down and trying to tie it up against the boards. I mean, that clock must have
right.
been. I mean, because in the movie, you watch it. I don't know how much of it is accurate. You know, I would love to just watch the game, and I don't even know if they would show it. But I wonder how many times, because in the movie, you'd see them looking up at the clock a lot.
Yeah,
like
sure.
How much time is left. And, you know, is it one of those things where they looked up and go, okay, we got 50 seconds left in the game. They look up again and go, damn, it's only 47.
Right. Right. I mean, like, and also,
it feels like a minute went by. How is that going so slow?
Every single time in those final couple of minutes when they're up 4-3 and they're holding on, every single Soviet player that is touching the puck is one of the best players in the world.
Yeah.
Is one of the best trained hockey players in the world.
They're bigger, faster, and stronger than you. Nothing you can do about it.
It's not like you're holding the lead against an equally matched team or maybe a team you're slightly better than. You are serious underdogs holding on to a one-goal lead in the final minutes, and then the other team that is at least physically better than you and more experienced than you is desperate, and you are trying to hold on. Herb Brooks he had to leave to go cry at the end of the game to come back to the celebration because it was so overwhelming.